We thank you for listening to the weekly sermon of First United Methodist Church, Missouri City, Texas. We're a church that's making disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. For more information about the church and its ministries, or how we can pray for you, visit us on the web at fumcmc.org. If you desire to make a quick contribution in support of our ministries, you can text to give. Simply text the amount you want to give to 281-369-4870 and follow the instructions. And now, as you listen, we hope that you find this podcast meaningful and transformational in your journey of faith.
So I read this joke, and you know, usually my jokes stink, and so this one might too, but people laughed over there. No pressure. So this man one day decides that he wants to join a monastery. So there was one not far from his home, and he goes there, and he has a conversation with the head monk. And the head monk, for those of you who don't know, is called an abbot. And so he has this conversation with the abbot. He says, "Look, I would like to I'd like to join your order." And the abbot says, "That'd be great. But we practice and take vows of silence." The man thought about it and said, "Well, what exactly does that mean?" The abbot said, "Well, it means you can only speak every 3 years and you can only say two words." Guy thought about it, I said, "Sure, I'm in." And so he takes care of his business, he shows up, and he begins his monk training at this monastery. Well, the first 3 years just kind of flies by, right? And the abbot calls this monk into his office, says, "It's been 3 years. What two words would you like to say?" And the guy thinks about it, and he says, "Food cold." Okay. So the abbot, you know, he's a follower of Jesus. He makes sure that the food for this guy will always be hot. So another 3 years pass by, and the abbot calls him in his office, and the abbot says, "What 3 years? What two words you like to say?" And the guy says, "Robe dirty." Abbot thinks, okay, well, he then makes sure that this monk's robe is cleaned every week so that he will feel good. 3 years rolls by, and the abbot calls him in, and the guy says, he's asked, "What two words would you like to say?" And the guy says, "Bed hard." So the abbot orders a brand new mattress for him and makes sure that he has a comfortable sleep. 3 years comes back, and the abbot calls the monk in, and the abbot says, "What two words would you like to say?" And the guy says, "I quit." And the abbot looks at him and says, "I'm not surprised. You've done nothing but complain since you got here." For those of you that don't get it, you'll get it on the way home, and you'll thank me. I saw that joke, and I instantly, because of how my brain works, thought of the children of Israel wandering around the wilderness, because for 40 years, remember, we've talked about them, they complained about everything. In fact, what I said in one sermon was that the children of Israel took complaining and made it into an art form, right? They were good at it. And they used different words, complain, grumble, murmur, but they were good. Where there's a story in the book of Numbers that, this is the children of Israel at their finest. Now, I'm not going to ask show of hands, but has everyone read the book of Numbers, right? Yeah, I mean, I know it's not as exciting as Leviticus, and it will probably never make anyone's top 10 favorite books, but I always try to warn you. This is my warning. Moses is said to have written Book of Numbers. One day you're going to die. You're going to be in heaven. Moses is going to come up to you and say, "Hey, you what'd you think of my book? And you're going to say, Genesis and Exodus was great. Leviticus was pretty good. Then you're just going to get silent. And Moses is going to say, well, what about Numbers? And you're going to have to tell the truth that you didn't read it. And eternity is going to be really long and really uncomfortable. So you may want to just read it. And the story that we're looking at today, it's not going to make anyone's top 100 favorite stories because it is bizarre. So if you have your Bibles, open to Numbers chapter 21, verse 4. We're going to read this. And I'm warning you, it is a bizarre story. You have been warned. Now, you have to remember that they have been in the wilderness for some time now, and God had provided quail, provided manna, provided water, provided clothes. He offered them protection. He guided them. He directed them. He surrounded them. He loved them. All of that had been going on. And so here's the passage, right? From Mount Hor, they set out by way to the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom, but the people became impatient on the way, and the people spoke against God and against Moses. Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no food and no water, and we detest this miserable food. Does that strike anyone else as odd? Right? They just said, there's no food, no water, and besides, the food we have, we don't like. They were good at complaining. So then the Lord sent poisonous serpents among the people, and they bit the people so that many Israelites died. And the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned by speaking against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord to take away the serpents from us. So Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said to Moses, make a poisonous serpent, set it on a pole, and everyone who is bitten shall look at it and live. So Moses made a serpent of bronze, put it on a pole, and whenever a serpent bit someone, that person would look at the serpent of bronze and they would live. Bizarre. Right? And I was going to preach on this, Eric, and I was going to preach probably the right way. I had it all laid out. I was ready, right? When I did all the research, because this was going to be my sermon. My sermon was going to be that I was going to talk about the serpents, right, and the poisonous serpents, and then I was going to talk about Moses praying to God, and then I was probably going to make a joke and say, if I was God, I would have just taken all the serpents away, but that's not what God did. God decided to tell Moses to make a serpent, put it on a pole. If you looked at the serpent, you could get bit, and then you would live, and I was going to do that. And then, right, because you guys read John 3 before I got in here, then I was going to be really smart, and I was going to tie it in with the words of Jesus when Jesus said this. We have it? And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. See, I was going to make this connection. And then in a clever, brilliant move, I was going to make my point. And the point's simple. I was going to remind you that God is in the business of transformation. Because what God did in the wilderness, he took something, the serpent, that usually is about condemnation and death, and it made it something of life. And God took the cross, which is usually a symbol of suffering and shame, and he made it something that would give life and save. God transformed. That was going to be the sermon. Bam, boom, amen, let's go home. But Eric, I should have called you. Because then something really bizarre happened. Eric's teaching this in his Sunday school class. We're teaching the same thing, only he's probably teaching it correctly, and I'm teaching it my way. Because something bizarre happened. I got fixated on a phrase in that story. In fact, really, if I'm honest, I got fixated on one word in the story. Verse 5. Do we have it? The people spoke against God and Moses. They spoke. I got fixated on the word spoke. And I don't know why, and I couldn't figure it out, and I tried to write the other sermon, but spoke keeps coming in my brain. And then, after a while, all those really bad cliches started coming in my head, right? Because there's a lot of them. There's the one, and I understand the meaning, I just don't agree with them. There's one that says, actions speak louder than words. Now, I may argue that one, because words speak pretty loud. And then there's the one, talk is cheap. Sometimes talk is cheap, but talk is pretty powerful. And then the one Leah talked about, sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt me. Well, I just don't believe that. Does anyone else believe that? In fact, there are times I'd rather you throw a stone at me than say a negative word. And so I started studying it again. And what I think I discovered was on that day when they spoke against Moses and God, they didn't just complain. I think they used words and a tone that cut Moses to his very core. The psalmist puts it like this, Psalm 64, verse 3. The psalmist says, their words were like poisonous arrows. That's brilliant. The rabbis understand that to mean this, and they are so dead right on. They say, here's, when I shoot an arrow and it hits you, I can't bring it back. It pierces your heart, and there's nothing I can do to take that away. I mean, I can apologize. I can ask you to forgive me. But I guarantee you, 3 years from now, you can remember those words that pierce your heart, because that's how we are. Or maybe it's just me. And I think in today, if you read the connection, you saw this study about women 16,000 words, men 15,000 words or whatever. I think today it's even more. I think today, because not all our words are spoken, right? We text, we email, we Facebook message, we Skype, we tweet, we FaceTime, we... In addition to our regular words, we also... Those words. And we are all day using words. Now, there's this really great book, and if you haven't read it, you should just go on Amazon and buy it. It's written by Rabbi Joseph Tekushin, and the book is called Words That Hurt, Words That Heal. And he talks about the negative impact of words, and it's brilliant. At least I think it is. And he goes around and he lectures to large groups. And as he's talking about the negative impact of words, he always ends his lecture with a question that goes something like this. He asks his audience, can you go 24 hours without saying a poisonous, unkind word? And what he says is, well, there are people who say no, and there's people who laugh, and there's people who admit it and say yes. And then he says this, he says, those who cannot answer yes must recognize that they have a serious problem. If you can't go 24 hours without liquor, you may be an alcoholic. If you can't go 24 hours without smoking, you are probably addicted to nicotine. And if you can't go 24 hours without saying an unkind word about another, then you probably lost control over your tongue. The psalmist writes, their words were like poisonous arrows. Let me ask you this, and this is not for a show of hands. This is for you to think about. What have you spoke that hurt another person? Think about that. When, with your words, have you pierced another person's heart? And maybe more importantly, when has that happened to you? See, when the children of Israel spoke against God and Moses, do you remember what happened? Their camp was filled with poisonous snakes. And I will argue that it was that when they spoke those words against, when they used poisonous words, it just didn't hurt the other. It hurt the community. Now, I am not going to try to explain the whole snake thing because I don't have that answer. If you want that answer, talk to Eric. He's got that. He'll be at the door after church and you can ask him. See, but you know me. What if something else was really going on? Seriously. Maybe it really wasn't about the snake. Maybe there's something else going on. Could it be, let me just throw this out there because we could learn from this, could it be that when we use poisonous words, we don't just hurt the other person, we hurt our community? Could it be that? Could it be that when we use words filled with venom and with anger, we bring emotional and spiritual death, not just to the person we speak them to, but to the whole community, because that's what happened in the wilderness. And could it be that when Moses lifted up the serpent, maybe he really was offering an antidote after all? Maybe what the idea is, I mean, just maybe, that God wanted us, before we speak venomous, poisonous words, to do what? To look up. I mean, right? I mean, we're told to think before we speak. What would happen if we looked up before we spoke? See, because the idea in my head is that if we looked up before we spoke, we might remember how God created us in the first place. See, the Genesis writer says we are created in the image of God. Now, there's all sorts of discussion about what that means. But what if the writer of Genesis, when he wrote that, what if he was talking about God's use of words and God's love of words? I mean, after all, look at the Bible. You do remember how everything came into being, right? God, it's not a trick question, spoke, right? God said, let there be light, and there was light, right? And then thousands of years later, one of the Gospels starts like this. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And so for God, the Word, the spoken Word, always gives life. And what would happen the next time you want to say one of those unkind, poisonous words, when you know it's the nuclear bomb that you're going to drop in the middle of a fight? Right? You know what I'm talking about. What if you stopped and looked up and you remembered? My words ought to give life. My words ought to build up, not tear down. Now, my favorite verse in the Bible, yeah, I tell you that all the time, but this is really my favorite. I preached a whole sermon on this one verse. It's in Philippians chapter 2, verse 15. I think it's the most brilliant thing Paul said. Paul said this, he said, you shine like stars in the world. I just love that. I mean, I love the image that Paul believes I can shine like a star. That's amazing. I mean, when I die and Justin speaks at my funeral, I just want him to stand up and say, Marty, he shined like a star. And I would know that my life mattered. That's the person I want to be. In fact, I want to serve a church that's filled with people who want to shine like stars. And I thought about what would happen in our community if we actually took Paul seriously. What would happen if each of us committed to shine like stars? Well, I immediately thought, well, there'd have to be something different about us, right? And it couldn't be just the way we act, because there's a lot of people who do really nice things. It couldn't be just the way we serve. And I thought, maybe what really lets us shine like stars is the way we speak. Maybe what we can do differently than the rest of the world is to speak words of life, words of grace, words of peace. I mean, let's just look. We live in a world that, well, there's a lot of hateful, vengeful, unkind words being Facebooked, being tweeted, being texted, being spoke. What if we decided we're going to be different? See, what I think that means, rather than we would say I love you rather than I can't stand you. I would say, what can I do for you rather than tell you what you can do for me? We would actually have to admit that we were wrong and then ask for forgiveness rather than insisting that we are always right. See, that's how we shine like stars. That's how we make a difference. The Numbers writer says, they spoke against God and Moses. He spoke, she spoke, you and I spoke. And the only question we have to answer is, when you speak, are you going to shine like a star? Will your words bring life? Will they build up? Will they offer hope and love and peace and grace? That's how you change a community. That's how you change a church. That's how you change a family. That's how you change a marriage. That's how you change yourself. You shine like stars. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And now may the Lord bless you, may the Lord keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. And may the Lord lift up his countenance upon you, give you peace both now and forever. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit go from this place. And may the peace and the love and the grace of God go with you. And may you know, may you remember, may you never forget that there is nothing you can do, nothing, that will ever make God love you less. Because when God sees us, he doesn't see the mistakes that we make. He simply says, wow, you're nothing but the best of the best of the best. And can you imagine for just a moment what your day might be like if you lived it believing that? I think you'd have a good day.